I don't know about you, but when Tracy had us singing Will the Circle Be Unbroken this morning, it asks if you can remember those favorite songs from your childhood. And, you know, it was hymn number 98 in the Songs of Faith and Praise hymnal. And after about 3 months of asking for it all the time, my mom said, "No, we can't sing it every week." It was good enough for me. I still sing it every Sunday, you know, when heaven comes down and glory fills my soul. But she didn't seem to think that was a good idea. So, you know, could you think of those things? That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm saying this morning. Not in my notes. New thoughts, free information. If you care to know what was and probably still is one of my favorite songs that we would sing on a Sunday morning, there it is. But 3 years ago, and maybe why I thought about it is, 3 years ago, I was staying at my dad's house after my mom passed away. And I may have mentioned it before, but as I was sitting there with him, he got me hooked on a television show. It's been a long time since I've had a television show. I said, you know, I just need to sit down and watch that. Let alone one that I didn't have access to, that I said, I just have to find out a way I can watch that show. But my dad got me hooked on a show on the History Channel called The Curse of Oak Island. Now, the whole premise of this show is that there's this little island off of the coast of Nova Scotia where supposedly some young men back in the late 1700s found a shaft that they dug down to 90 feet, and every 10 feet there was a platform of wood. And supposedly they found little bits of treasure and eventually a stone tablet. And so for the last 200 plus years, people have been searching and trying to locate this treasure on Oak Island. Now there is an ever-growing company of men and a handful of women who are continuing searching all over this little island, trying to locate, trying to use whatever scientific methods they can find, whatever they can apply to their specific situation and say, is there, where is there, what is this treasure that they're looking for? Now, over the course of the 8 years or almost 9 seasons now of the program, several times there have been those who have said, okay, here is where you'll find the treasure. And they have done different things, come up with their theories of where the treasure might be or how to locate the treasure. And they come to Oak Island and they share their information with the group that's looking for the treasure. And sometimes they'll ask them, okay, if you were searching for the treasure, where would you dig? Where would you put the X on the ground? Now, sometimes they've gone out and physically shown them. Other times they've used the map and shown them and said, you know, this is where the X would be. Now, imagine that I have some kind of inside information. And I get a hold of them and I can tell you the who, the what, the when, the where, and the why about all of Oak Island. And I can tell you exactly where the treasure is located, how deep it's going to be, and how you get to it. And they listen to me, and they hear what I have to say, and they thank me, and they go about their business searching for the treasure, but they never take any of the information that I've given them and use it. And the generation that's there now gets to the place where they can't dig for treasure anymore, and another generation comes along, and they hear the information, and for the first time, they say, you know, that makes a lot of sense. And so they go where no one has gone before, and they dig a way that no one's ever dug before, and lo and behold, the information I had was right, and they find the treasure. What would you think What would you think about the generation that's digging now if that were the case? What would you think about the next generation that did what they were called to do or used the information that they were given? What would you think? Well, similar to that, the prophet Zechariah starts his prophetic writing with information. And he tells them, he says, the last generation didn't do so well. They didn't listen so hot. So I'm going to give you the information again in hopes that you will pay attention. And he's going to simply share with them the same message that God has been sharing through his prophets since the beginning of the nation of Israel with Moses at Mount Sinai. But the question is what will the people do with the message? And we're going to look at the beginning of Zechariah's prophecy this morning, the second to the last book in the Old Testament. So if you can find Matthew easy enough, just a few pages back, you're going to find the beginning of Zechariah. If you get to Haggai, you've gone too far. If you're at Malachi, you're not quite far enough. We're at Zechariah. We're going to begin this morning with the first verse of Zechariah chapter 1. It says, in the eighth month of the second year of Darius, a word of the Lord came to Zechariah the prophet, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, saying, the Lord was very angry with your fathers. Therefore, say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, declares the Lord of hosts, that I may return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Just in case you don't understand, Zechariah wants them to know that it's the Lord of hosts talking to them. Don't miss that. That's important. He says, do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets proclaimed, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, return now from your evil ways and from your evil deeds. But they did not listen or give heed to me, declares the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But did not my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, overtake your fathers? Then they repented and said, as the Lord of hosts proposed to do with us in accordance with our ways and our deeds, so he has dealt with us. And so the question arises, what does this mean to me? We've been looking at the minor prophets for several months now, and I've said since we began that there is a reason to read the minor prophets, and that is that they are, in their own way, they are as applicable today as they were in the day that the prophets wrote them. There is a message for us, and I said at the beginning, you know, kind of like you go to a movie and you see all these extras in the movies. Well, a lot of times that's the way we look at the minor prophets. Like, they're just extra. They're just extras. They're just there to fill up a few more pages in our Bible. They're just there to fill in little bits of history between what 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles and Ezra, and, you know, what those books may tell us. There's just a little bit, but they're not just extras. They play an important role in the story that God is telling from Genesis to Revelation. And they tell us about the relationship that we're supposed to have with God. When we look at what Zechariah this morning or says and where we're at this morning, and he begins with a refusal to listen. He begins with the refusal to listen, and he talks about the call of God. He talks about the message of God that the people have been given in the past. And he speaks specifically of the prophets. Probably in mind, he had guys like Isaiah and Amos And he had some of those prophets that we know, Elijah, Elisha. Prophets who brought grand messages from God to the people of God. And he says they all had one message. The people of God, or the prophets of God, they all really had one message. And if you were paying attention to the prophets, you would hear the same message preached from prophet to prophet, from year to year. And that message was repent. The message was, listen, God has created this covenant relationship with you, and he's told you how you're supposed to live. And he also told you the promises of what he would do if you would live with him, and the curses that would overtake you if you continued to live in ways that were not in line with God's call for your lives. And over again, the prophets came and they said, listen, God has this against you. And this is what God has promised that he's going to do. And if you don't want to experience those things, then you need to repent. And Zechariah says, the message that God gave to your fathers was repent, so that I can return to you. So that I can come and, well, I will relent. If you repent, I will relent. Because God had said, these are the curses that are going to overtake you. And God says through his prophets, if you will repent, I will not. And then he says, whatever it was that he was going to do, based upon the covenant promises. And time again, God really wanted not to bring the curses, but to bring the blessings. And he says, not only will I relent, not only will I not carry out the covenant curses, but I will also return to you. You know, we like to say that if you don't feel close to God, it's not you that's moved, it's God. The prophet Zechariah says that God moves away from us. That God moves away from us. If we refuse to live the way that God has called us to live, God can move away from us. Now, God says he will return. If we repent, he will relent and he will return. But here's the problem. Zechariah is talking to the people and he says, your fathers refused to listen. Your fathers refused to pay attention to the message that the prophets brought. Oh, they heard the message time and time again. You know, you can list the prophets of the Old Testament that are mentioned. And I'm sure there were a whole lot more than that that God sent. There are just some that their message stood out, their ministry stood out such that their sayings, their writings were kept. But the people refused to pay attention. Time and time again, they would hear the prophets, and some of them they scorned, some of them they ran off, some of them, according to Jesus in the New Testament, some of them they even put to death. They refused to pay attention to the prophets, and eventually they suffered the consequences because of it. We talk about the Babylonian exile, that time when Babylon comes and destroys the city of Jerusalem and takes a great number of the people captive back to Babylon. They suffered the consequences. We've looked at the minor prophets and we've talked about the fact that God says he brings the drought. He brings the pestilence. He brings the disease. He brings the lack of, and you can list whatever, because God was against the people. They suffered the consequences. And now Zechariah is preaching to a new generation. He's preaching to a new generation, and he's telling them about the fathers. Probably their grandfathers and great-grandfathers and up the line, but he's talking to them about those generations that have gone before who heard the word of God and refused to be obedient. Well, he's not trying to downplay the previous generations. He's rather trying to emphasize the message of God. And he brings up the past generations to remind the people of where they came from. And then he moves from the people to God. He says, the people refused to listen, but God was faithful. God was faithful. Because we think of God's faithfulness, and we like to think about God's love and God's mercy, but God's faithfulness is more than simply his love and his mercy. God's faithfulness comes because he actually acted on what he said. If you've been a parent, you know that sometimes you have to, well, most of the time, probably you should really mean what you say, and you should follow up on what you've said by doing what you promised. The prophet Zechariah tells us that God acted on what he promised. And he does so by mentioning their fathers, because what he says is that the words of the Lord overtook your fathers. The words of the Lord, they overtook your fathers. And the words of the Lord that he's speaking about go back to the very beginning of the nation of Israel. Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, we read about the promises of keeping the covenant that God made to the people. And then you read about the curses that God said would happen or would overtake the people if they refused to live in line with the covenant. And everything that happens that we read about negatively, whether it's in the books of history or whether it's in the books of the prophets or the minor prophets that come upon the people of Israel, are not new things. They are simply going back to the covenant promises and the covenant curses that God made to the people of Israel. And God's word is simply catching up with the people. He is simply doing what he said he would do. If you refuse to worship me, then I will send you into captivity. If you do this, this is what will happen. And eventually those things begin to take place. And God does what God said he would do. And eventually it ends in the Babylonian exile. Because the greatest of those curses that God said to the people was eventually, if you refuse long enough, the land is going to spit you out. The land is just going to get rid of you, and where you live will become a wildlife refuge. He doesn't really say those words, but he says that it will be the haunt of jackals and the wild animals are going to return. And God's word was carried out. God allowed the nation of Babylon to come and to wipe out the people of Judah. Oh, it happened before for the nation of Israel, little by little, and finally with the Assyrian invasion, everything was taken. And then with Judah, with Babylon. But God made one other promise. God made one other promise, and that was that the people would return to him, he would return. And that they would come back from captivity. And in the prophet Jeremiah, he says 70 years. 70 years from the beginning of the captivity until the end. And 70 years, you read the book of Daniel. Daniel recognizes, Daniel says, hey God, the 70 years is almost up. How much longer? And God says it's about to happen. And the people then come back from captivity. Cyrus writes an edict, and a number of people come back with Ezra. And several years later, another group of people comes back with the prophet, or not the prophet, with the governor Nehemiah. And a few people, just a handful from those that went into captivity, and even a smaller handful if you consider the number of people that came out of Egypt in the Exodus. But a few of them return, and God said, I'm simply doing what I promised. I am keeping the faithfulness of the covenant from generation to generation. And God does continue in that covenant relationship with the people. But not just that, he continues to woo his people. He continues to try to get the people to want to worship him, to love him, not because they feel like they're being forced, but because he is loving them. Because he is nurturing the relationship with them, they want the relationship to grow. And he sends the prophet Zechariah, and Zechariah says, listen, you're being given an opportunity. You're being given an opportunity to live in this great relationship with God, with Yahweh, the covenant God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Please, please listen to what he's saying. And the people, some of them do. Some of them probably don't. But the question is as I've said, this has meaning for us, but so we have to ask the question, what is the lesson for us? If this is what's taking place, you know, that's all good and great, but that was Israel. That was then. What about us today? Well, the message is the same. The message begins with here. The message to you and me, it begins with the word here. Listen to what the Lord of hosts says. Told you that would be important. Because when he says, the Lord of hosts says, what Zechariah is saying to the people isn't just, hey, isn't this interesting that God is speaking? No, he's shouting, he's exclaiming loudly, he's boldly making the statement, God wants to talk to you. Hear what he has to say. And here is not just a passive thing. Here, first of all, means to listen. To listen. To sit and to listen. And there's a difference between hearing and listening. You understand that, right? I sit on my deck and I hear the traffic on 121 going from north to south and south to north. No big deal. But I listen. I listen to the conversation around our patio table when we're out on the same deck. I hear the birds every day. Some days I choose to stop and just listen to the beautiful sounds that the birds are making. I hear the dogs up and down my street barking. But there's a difference when I listen to the coyotes howling in the bottom, making sure they're not, like, right at my back door. Because they're that close some nights. You understand the difference between hearing and listening. God is saying through the prophet Zechariah, listen. Listen, open up your ears, pay attention, and let the sounds come in and live within you. We have to listen and we have to understand. The second thing about what Zechariah is saying to the people is you have to understand. You know, it's not just enough to hear and to listen, but you have to understand. You have to understand what's being said. You go to order food today for lunch. I don't know where you're going. You just insert the place you go. And you sit down for lunch, and the waitress, or the teenage person on the other side of the counter says, "What would you like to eat?" Now, you want two things. You want them to listen to you, and you want them to understand you. Trust me, I remember when I was a little kid with a really bad speech impediment, not being able to be understood. And it was just, I was reminded of that this last year when we were all wearing, or last couple years when we were all wearing masks. You go in and they ask you what you want, and you tell them and they say, "What? I can't understand you." And you say, "I can't understand you either." Was with the doctor the other day, and they asked a question, and you know, you still got to wear those masks to go to the doctor's office. And I answered the question, and she looked at me and said, "What?" I had to answer the question again. She said, "Oh, okay. Yeah, it's just sometimes hard with the masks." We want the other person to understand. We want them to listen, but we also want them to understand. And God is saying through the prophet Zechariah, listen and understand. And third, ask good questions. Zechariah doesn't tell us to ask good questions, but that's just part of good listening and understanding. Asking good questions. And as you and I, as we hear the word of God, if we sit on a Sunday morning like this and we hear someone like me tell us the word of God, we've got to be asking questions. If you're like me and you pick up your Bible on a regular basis and read it, you've got to be asking good questions. You know, we don't just read, we don't just listen and understand for the benefit of whoever wrote or whoever speaking. It is for our benefit. And a lot of times we've got to ask good questions of the text. What does that mean? And I work hard. I'll be honest, I work hard to say and to tell you, what does it mean to you and me? What is the message that is of value to us? But you have to do that yourself. Ask good questions. I appreciate it when I'm teaching or when I'm preaching and somebody comes up afterwards and says, "I got a question. You were paying attention." Yes! Unless it's Tracy. If it's Tracy, yeah, it just depends on the question. But not only does it mean to hear, the prophet Zechariah says, you know, hearing wasn't enough. Your fathers heard the message. They understood that there was no vague notions about what God wanted when he sent his prophets. Especially if you read Isaiah and Ezekiel and you read about one of them running around naked for a period of time. Another one lays down and cooks stuff over animal dung. They're weird. But they made a point. People understood what the prophets were saying. They understood the message that God was sending them. But God wanted more than just understanding. You know, he wants action. He wants something to be done on the part of the people because they have heard and understood the message. And I like the word relent. When I was writing and thinking through this week, this word just stuck in my mind. Relent. We often use the word repent, you know, to turn away, to change your mind, to go the other direction. The word relent is the word that stuck with me because that doesn't just mean, yeah, I've changed my mind. It means I have let go of whatever it is that's holding me back. I've stopped doing something because something else is the right thing to do. And God says, I want you to relent from the practices of worshiping the foreign gods. I want you to relent from the practices of thinking you've got to do everything yourself. I want you to relent from the practices of, and it depended on the prophets, But he wanted the people to give up what they were doing so that they could return to him. He wanted them to return. He says, if you return to me, there's a big word in there. It's two letters long. It says if. 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 It means that they had an option. They had to make a decision. They had to choose to relent and to return to God. And for you and me, it means that we hear the message of God and we've got a choice. We can let go of a lot of things on this side of stuff and return to God. And then obey. You know, it wasn't just enough for them to return to God. He wanted them to return and then be obedient. I've heard it said that we have been informed above our obedience. It's said two or three different ways, and I had to paraphrase it because I couldn't remember the right way to quote it. But we are informed, we are educated, we are taught about the Word of God much beyond our obedience, way too often. We hear the message, we understand it, and we may even say, yeah, that's great. And you may sit there and say, amen, preach it, brother. I've never heard that from you, but you may say that in your mind. Some days I picture you as a black congregation saying that to me just to keep going. You know, I attended a black church once, and that was my favorite part of that whole service, was listening to them cheer on that preacher and encourage him to keep going. So you may not do it, but you do it in my head. But that's the thing. God wants us to be obedient. He wants us to take what we've heard and he wants us to be active. He wants us to do what he said. That's why he told his disciples at the end of the book of Matthew, go and make disciples of all the nations. That is his call to you and me. Go and make disciples. Some days his call to you and me is to let go of, and then he lists something that has become an idol in our lives, and he says, let go of that and come back to me. You don't need that much money. You don't need that much entertainment. You don't need that much of
stuff.
Yeah. Whatever it is. He says, let go and come back and trust me to provide everything for you. And we are called, just like Zechariah looked at his audience and he says, you know what? Your fathers heard and they ignored God. You hear today and you become obedient. And then he goes on with his message. And we're going to look at more of that over the next couple of weeks. Because part of Zechariah is going to take us into Easter. You didn't realize we were going to preach the Old Testament when we got to Easter, but we are. We're going to look at Zechariah's prophecy on Easter this year. But God calls us to be active. And we might not be searching for buried treasure on a little island in off the coast of Nova Scotia, but what we have and what we are looking for is something that is of it's infinitesimally more valuable than anything that they could find on that little island in the North Atlantic. What you and I have is invaluable. It's not able to be understood completely. But we're longing and we're waiting for something. But God says to get there, you have to be obedient. To be obedient, we have to listen. We have to ask the right questions. And then we have to make a decision that it's worth what he's offering. For you and me, the question is, what will we do with the information we've been given? Will we listen to the message and just walk away? Will we listen and think about what we've been told and just drop it? Or will we listen and change our lives and act upon what we know to be true? And God's message through Zechariah and God's message through the other prophets is this: hear and obey. Hear and obey. And that's his message to you, and that's his message to me today. Hear and obey. And this morning, as we sing this last song, I would just encourage you to offer up a prayer to God and say, God, let your Spirit inform me of where I need to listen and where I need to relent and return, and then be obedient. Let's stand together as we sing this morning.